This is SFS for life, foot covering kids are a wife, SFS podcast number 22. Yeah man, the doctors man, fucking me about man, making me wait all day just to get my prescription. I fucking went in there and I fucking shouted in front of everybody, I just fucking lost it. And in the chemist as well, I shouted at the top of my voice, "You fucking cunts better stop fucking me about." It's easy at this day and age in England, your prescription should be ready for you at the chemist every week if you are on weekly prescriptions. In this day and age, that's what they do. My doctor goes away and pulls all types of stupid shit, and I have to wait like a second class fucking citizen. And I've done this for 4 weeks in a row, and finally I'm not gonna sit there and just turn the other cheek so they can keep fucking doing it. So what I did is I went in there and I fucking went sick. I didn't give a fuck who was in there. I shouted, "I'll burn this motherfucking place down and shoot this fucking place up, because I am not fucking sick of what you motherfuckers are doing. You know, it's my fucking health, motherfuckers. You know. So it's over something so simple as well. I've got so many things to do. Do you think I want to be waiting every motherfucking Monday to be getting a prescription, when it should just be so simple? It should be faxed. It only takes 2 minutes faxed to the nearest pharmacy so I can pick it up. God damn. Anyway, advertisements. If you don't know, now you know. If you want to figure yourself out about your mental health or anything like that, there's a new app called Aware. There's a meditation app called Aware, but there's other app called Aware where you check all the symptoms, whether you want to find out about yourself, whether you're that self-conscious or not. Give it a try. Test you on if you're a narcissist, whether you're a materialistic guy, whether you use phones too much, whether you're ADHD test, psychopath test, sociopath test, all types of tests, IQ test, empathy test, how you feel about yourself, self-conscious test, everything that you could possibly think of, basically, everything that goes on in your brain, you can possibly think of, you take a test, and they'll ask you questions, and you'll score whatever. I score usually, you know, some high on the others and some not. As a narcissist, I score 60%, which is not a fully blown narcissist, because a fully blown narcissist is 90. Like, I wouldn't fuck people over for no fucking reason. Or if I saw someone dying, obviously I'd help them. But at the same time, I think of myself as, at the moment anyway, as obviously I want what I want, you know, and I'm willing to get what I want, pretty much, you know, the situation that I'm in, and I look after me, you know, I'm number one to me, so, you know, and I try, you know, I look out for myself. You got to look out for yourself, so don't call that a narcissist just because you look out for yourself. To me, they ask me to think of I'm better than everyone else. To me, I am better than everyone else, but I don't go around being flamboyant, thinking that I'm talking down on people. Obviously, deep down inside you, you're going to think you're better than anyone else. You should do. You're a god in and of yourself. That's the code of Satan to me. Anyway, I'm going to read you an article on a very rare article, and these magazines that I've got, these old WWF magazines that I've got. Now, You think Triple H got big just because of Stephanie McMahon? No, he didn't. Reality check for you. All you past fans who watched that era or watched Triple H know that he was World Wrestling Federation champion way before the Stephanie McMahon angle and way before he started dating Stephanie McMahon. He actually won the title after SummerSlam 1999. And here's an interview with a Triple H exclusive interview after that on the September 1999 edition of the official WWF magazine. From the chants of asshole, asshole, reverberating throughout arenas across the country to financial and physical challenges, turning heel has come at a hefty price. A price Hunter has been more than willing to pay for the love of the game. I like being a heel much more. I think I'm better at it. I'm one of the very few guys left in this business who is willing to get legitimate heat. Triple H tells the Raw magazine. I personally, and I've proven in the past, I can do this. I purposely go out of my way. Now, not to have fans want to repeat things that I say all the time. I try not to have a lot of catchphrases. I try not to have that image where I think too many people are going to say, well, he's really fucking cool. I just want to be like him. I try to get legitimate heat, and that's something that is rare in this business. I don't see very many guys actually wanting to do that. Triple H's character has evolved tremendously in 4 short years and has been in the WWF. From the bitter snide snob from Greenwich, Connecticut, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, to the rebellious crotch-chopping degenerate, starting off the cult group Degeneration X with Shawn Michaels, Triple H is a hybrid of both these characters in this present day. In 1999, he took that bitterness from his first role and the attitude of the rebellious of the second of his time in DX and threw in an incredible mean streak. Now, he is the game. It was my time to make a mark on my own. At the end of DX, the game says, it was time for me to stop being the guy who had all this supposed potential and not living up to it. That was the guy always surrounded by other people. The guy who always had to have somebody next to him. The guy in somebody else's shadow. It's time for me to step out and be me, Triple H. Becoming a heel was a conscious decision. Triple H knew the risks involved, opted out to forego the popularity as well as monetary gains he had achieved in the lead role of Degeneration X. I sometimes think I'm an idiot for doing it. As a heel in this business, you make less money because of the royalties, which to me is damn wrong. You get less fanfare, you get less publicity outside the business. You get less of a push by the office. You get less respect all around.
True.
Steve Austin is only as good as a guy standing across from him. Luke Skywalker was the only as good as Darth Vader was bad. And I will decrush Austin and get... And he will not be getting his title back from me. There's a point in time here when the office treats certain guys like, well, this guy's the man. Steve Austin is the man. Well, why is he? Because he's a number one good guy in the business? That's great, and people know Austin. He's great, and everyone comes to see that beer-swelling, bald-haired son of a bitch. But Steve Austin is only as good as a guy
across from him. And that is to heal the game.
Since Vince McMahon left at Fully Loaded after a nearly 2-year sensational rivalry that would be remembered for the rest of wrestling history with Steve Austin, it seems like Triple H has took Vince McMahon's shoes as being the number one heel to go against Stone Cold Steve Austin, as their rivalry continues as Triple H crippled Stone Cold at SummerSlam with a chair, only for Austin to come back weeks later and throw that son bitch in a truck and drive the truck straight in, park it straight in front of a damn truck, the ambulance, throw the bastard in the ambulance, then Stone Cold gets in the truck while that son bitch is in the ambulance, and at 30 miles an hour, hits that son of a bitch with Triple H in it, because payback is a bitch. The rivalry between Triple H and Austin is definitely heating up, as they are bound to face each other one-on-one at No Mercy. I think I've seen that match. I've seen a 2 out of 3 falls match they had. Didn't know they had a rivalry back then.
I keep a stayed doing DX and cleaning up for the old merchandise and the revenues and all that stuff that was making a lot of money off the DX merchandise. When you love that spot, yeah, you lose bonus cash if you leave it. If you leave something that you built and you're a leader of, you lose that merchandise right. You lose all of that. You lose a lot of money because I left DX. But very few people go to the arena and buy a Triple H t-shirt unless it's to wipe their asses is and throw it in the trash barrel.
He has had the longest run thus far as a heel WWF champion, as he almost lost it due to the internet. Fans were writing in saying that they didn't want Triple H as the Federation champion. They wanted The Rock. Fans felt Triple H was boring and Federation's officials almost bought and almost took away his title. This is behind the scenes. He's a heel though, he's a heel champion. So what do you expect? He's there to not be liked. That was like back in the day. That's why people were rooting for The Rock to be the champion, because he was the guy who wanted to be the champion, because he was the ultimate babyface and Triple H was the ultimate heel. I can remember the old period. And that's why you don't have that anymore, them heel, ultimate heels and babyfaces. Like, I wanted The Rock to be champion. I didn't want Triple H to be champion. But at the end of the day, Triple H is the greatest heel champion of all time in my book. The powers that be read between the lines. Triple H irritated fans. He got a response out of them. A telltale sign of a true entertainer. The fans wanted The Rock because they love him and they hate Triple H. Pure and simple. In fact, some of his actions, such as breaking JR's arm, made Triple H the most hated man in the WWF. His villainous reputation has even surpassed that of Vince McMahon's. To me, that's a compliment, says the game. It's an odd thing if you look at it that way. You know, when the fans come out and cheer, asshole. Which I'm almost hesitant to say in this magazine because I don't want them to stop doing it. That's the stamp of approval that I'm doing my job right as being a heel. I mean, I'm gaining to be a bigger asshole chant as longer as I get a louder one than I think everyone's gotten. Vince had a pretty good run of it going there for a while, but I think it's even gone to that level with me, and I think I'm one of the few guys in a long time who has done that and is willing to do that. I think that if the average guy goes out there and someone says, you suck, he takes it to heart like, oh, they actually don't like my wrestling. It's not that they don't like my wrestling, they don't like my character. That's how I see it. It's a real weird thing,
because on one end, you almost got punished for being as good as you are at what you do. I feel like I'm a very good being a heel. It's the best spot I've been in for years. People don't understand that. I don't even think the smart-ass marks understand that because of the fans would make all the most self-confident crumble. I make think that a lot of guys in our business want to be heels a lot of the time because the heel sometimes is more than an interesting character. You get to do more dastardly stuff and more creative in what you do, and sometimes it's a lot more fun to be a heel. Ask any superstar about that. But they want to do it in such a way that the fans still think they're cool. I'm not putting anyone down for that. That's their choice. They want to be booed, but they want to be the rebel without a cause or whatever. And that was what Austin was trying to do, but the fans just loved Austin. So I'm trying to go in the opposite direction and really make fans hate me. They still want to have that. Well, because I'm a heel and it's not my job as a heel in my business. My job is to make people want to see me get my ass kicked as much as possible. And I think I do that pretty damn well. And that's my goal when I go out there. Being the WWF champion takes a lot out of a person. And being the bad guy only, etc. bites a different, difficult situation. The champion has to be on all the time. Usually a heel is a transition guy, the game says. It's been a big change for me. And if people look at it, I think I defended the belt more in a short time than probably anybody in the business. On TV anyway, even when I'm trying to get back 5 times a night when I worked on Raw, I've been told by people in the business, by the owner Vince McMahon, that I'm the hardest working man in this business today, and I believe it. It's taken a tremendous toll on my body. Not a day goes by that I don't feel the change, and I don't wonder if I'm the only idiot left in the business who looks at this business and says, well, wait a minute here. Let me get this straight here. I'm making less money and getting beat up more, and people are spitting on me, knocking me at my door to call me an asshole in the middle of the night. I'm making less money. It's not a very good business decision, but deep inside of me, I did the right thing in that instance, and hopefully it's going to pay off for the game in the long run. Triple H has grown both as an athlete and a character, embracing each role with a passion and commitment that are hallmarks of a true entertainer. Where will the game take us next? Things change so fast around here, the game says. I like it where I'm at now. I foresee myself as being and try to be and hopefully continue to be the number one heel in this damn business. The most hated guy ever in this business. It suits me just fine. Hopefully have a good solid run with the WWF champion and not necessarily having the title, staying within the realm of being involved for that title. And hopefully doing that as a heel, I prefer that much more. But you never know. Times tell, things change. All I'm doing is looking forward to beating the crap out of that bald-headed son of a bitch at No Mercy Austin.
That's an interview before I met Stephanie McMahon. This is in 1999. This is when he's still with China. I didn't watch it during this period, but if I get the network again, I believe you can watch every Raw and SmackDown back in the day. So I'm going to have a watch about that period. I watched a period of 98 when Austin was with McMahon and up to the part where Stephanie kidnapped, got kidnapped by The Undertaker and Austin had a rivalry with The Rock. I knew Austin and Triple H had a rivalry. Because the car situation when Austin came back after a year. But they also had a rivalry before that for the title. But Triple H always had a big rivalry with The Rock, one of the greatest rivalries in history with The Rock. And his rivalry with Austin, you know, was great when I watched it when Austin came back and dropped him from a forklift. But he had a rivalry with Austin at this time as well. He took the title off Austin, if I'm not mistaken, and crippled him at SummerSlam 99, and Austin came back and threw him in the ambulance and drove a truck into the ambulance or something. But Triple H was champion on Summer 1999, so that's way before he met Stephanie, and that's when he was champion. That year, that's when he was turning heel, and that's when he was becoming a top guy. So Triple H was the game. You know, it took him years. I've watched a documentary about the curtain call thing, so I think I know what period this is. It's the period where he gets sick of it, and he's having memories of that curtain call incident and getting held back. He's supposed to get a push then and go get Shawn Michaels, but because of the curtain call incident with the click, then Austin, which is right, took his place, and Austin got big first, and then Triple H had to wait 3 years to get big. But it's kind of an interesting, rare interview I wanted to share, because I never knew this about Triple H. And I knew Triple H was a game, and Stephanie is not the one who makes him big. Obviously, people hate him now because he's CEO, but he's done a lot for NXT and a lot of things, and for this business. And I remember watching him, and he's had some of the greatest matches in history. So all hail to Triple H. That's all I got to say.